Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is Brock, and this is episode number 47. In this episode, I jumped on for a little solo episode. It's been a few weeks since I came out with something, so I wanted to just drop this, even though it's a shorter episode. And really, this week, just focusing a lot on presence, focusing a lot on trying to be more in the moment, and really diving deep into the concept of the elimination of suffering through being more present. So I hope that you find a few of these things in this episode interesting. I've got a few stories to tell you, some things that have happened to me recently. And if you've enjoyed it, feel free to share it with friends or family, or let me know what you took away after listening to the episode. Let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 47. This is Brock. So excited to be back with you guys. It's been a little bit, and wanted to jump on and just do a quick solo episode today. This isn't going to be a super long one today. And, you know, I hesitated to do this because I'm literally driving to LA right now. For those of you wondering if that's safe, maybe, maybe not, but I'm trying to do it as safe as possible while keeping eyes on the road. But I have about an hour and 45 uninterrupted, so I thought, you know what, just getting something out there sometimes is more important than having it done perfectly. So that's how I tackle a lot of projects in my life. That's how I believe a lot of things should be viewed, because if you overanalyze everything forever, you're never going to get anything done, or you're going to get very little done, in my opinion. So we just returned yesterday from a week up in the Santa Cruz, California area, and those of you that have visited up there know that it is abundant with redwoods. It is just absolutely beautiful, one of California's most beautiful stretches of coastline and forests, in my opinion. There's just so many spots. And we went up for a wedding, and it was really, really a special wedding. It was my cousin, and they got married in the redwoods, so it was absolutely epic. But the thing that I wanted to just kind of bring back and broadcast today is the essential need for making time to be quiet. And those of you that are always on the hustle, on the go, 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 and then when you transition into a period of quiet, you can literally just feel how nourishing it is for your soul. You can feel it through every pore, through every cell in your body. It's just like this, And, you know, I want to talk about this because we live in this culture now where it's almost frowned upon to take a break. Or it's kind of like this last resort, like, oh, they worked for the entire year and they're finally going to take their 2 weeks. You know what the crazy thing is? Most people that work in the 9-to-5 corporate environment, they don't even take their full vacation days. They bank them, they stock them up, and very few people use those. And in other countries like Australia, New Zealand, most of Europe, they're taking a minimum of 6 weeks per year. So there's something very, very backwards with our mentality here. You might say, well, Brock, it's, you know, we work harder than them. Maybe, maybe not though. Last I checked, those countries seem to be doing just fine, at least certainly no better than us. And they're taking more vacation, more holiday, as they would say. So I digress a little bit here, because whether you're taking your full vacations or not, you don't have to take a vacation to allow time for quiet. You know, it's certainly obvious these days that, you know, people meditate, they try to find a little bit of time each day. But I think it often comes as a last resort. And I got to tell you guys a quick story. 30 days ago, I started a men's accountability group. For those of you that follow me, you know that I do a lot of work with men. I have a men's group, and I have a lot of coaching clients that are men. And we did this accountability group. We started 30 days ago. And it was really, really interesting to see, because the premise of the accountability group was, we're going to do these 5 specific practices each day. And the belief being that if we can all build these 5 practices into our daily life that will be happier, healthy, stronger, more balanced as men. So we launched this accountability group. I was super excited. I sent out a big email blast, and I don't have a huge list in the men's group arena by any means, but we had 23 people step up, volunteer, say, yeah, I want to join the 30-day challenge. I'm in. So we started a little group on Telegram. For those of you that don't know what Telegram is, it's an app. It's been around since 2013, but I think just more recently, a lot more people are using it because it's just more private. There's no censorship on the app. It's you're not being spied on like Facebook spies on you, and it's private. So nonetheless, it operates like a WhatsApp, very, very similar. So we start the group, and we have 23 guys that start. And of the 23 that started, we had 9 that actually finished the challenge. 9 that actually did the 5 practices as best as they could each day, or at the very least, were willing to be accountable to everybody else in the group. And that's the purpose of an accountability group. If you've been in one, you know that you have to like give an accounting of how you did that day. And, you know, for those of the guys that just didn't say anything day after day after day, we gave them a warning, and if not, they were kicked out of the group. It's a little bit of tough love, but hey, that's the purpose of an accountability group, to get you to dig deeper and to do more than you normally would do by yourself. So we end with 9 guys, and those 5 practices, you might be wondering, what were those 5 practices? Well, let me tell you. The 5 practices each day were breath work, cold exposure. So for most people, that meant a cold shower, taking a cold shower every day. Nature, having some time in nature or outside, getting a little sunshine. 4 was exercise or movement. And the 5th one was meditation. So breath work, nature, meditation, exercise, and what did I just forget? Anyway, you got it. I just listed them all. So 5 practices. It was interesting to observe myself, because for most of my stuff, it was pretty automatic. I would pretty consistently hit 4 out of 5 of these each day. But where I tended to struggle, and it was a big wake-up call for me, was with my meditation. And for whatever reason, maybe it was more mental, and I'm still kind of unpacking this, the meditation was the most difficult one for me to actually just do. So what that tells me is it's hard for me to just take time out, because for some reason I don't value that. I don't think that it's as important as the other things for some reason. And that was interesting. So I'm trying not to judge that. I'm trying to just observe that. And as I just was about to start recording this, I just finished a really, really epic meditation. I want to give a shout out to my friend Joshua Sprague. He's a business mentor. He's a good friend of mine. And he creates these really awesome guided meditations. And while I was doing the 30-day accountability challenge, I would try to do one of his every single day. And he's got a couple different ones. One's about like building your confidence and self-empowerment. He's got another one around money, changing your beliefs around money. They're just all really cool visualizations, and they really help you relax. You do a little breathing in the beginning of them, and they're only 10 to 15 minutes at the most. So I would try to do those every day, but like I said, for whatever reason, the meditation would come very, very last, and I'd find myself trying to like sneak it in to the day at the very end. And sometimes it wasn't super quality. I'd be like laying down with the baby and trying to like listen to it, but I'd end up falling asleep myself. And I don't know, it was just interesting. So I think what I'm trying to say is I don't believe that I'm alone. I think there are a lot of people who struggle to find the time to prioritize being quiet for being calm. And it's hard because we're in such a go, go, go society. I'm right there with you guys, by the way. I'm constantly, like, my schedule is filled always. Like, I'm lucky to find those extra 10 minutes some days. And, you know, it's just, it's difficult. It's difficult to sit still, and it's difficult to see through the fog sometimes and remember that the benefits of meditating or being quiet or just sitting still or doing breath work or listening to spirit or God or praying or whatever it is you believe in, it's hard for us because we live in an age of distraction. We live in an age where it's easier to just log on to social media, to scroll, to get that dopamine hit, to numb our mind out and not have to sit in stillness. And it's very, very hard for people. But there's so much benefit. And as I was just driving down along the coast here, looking out over the ocean, I was sitting in stillness, no music, no nothing for a while, and really just enjoying it. And I think we can also, on the flip side, we can train ourselves to not be distracted all the time. We can train ourselves to actually give ourselves permission to sit in that stillness and to be quiet. You might be rolling your eyes saying, well, yeah, duh, Brock, this is so obvious. Like, thousands, if not millions of people these days meditate. It's a common practice. You go to New York City, there's meditation centers on lots and lots of corners these days, and it's pretty mainstream. What's mainstream doesn't always mean that everybody follows through, including myself. So I guess a quick reminder to everybody that finding stillness, finding time not only to get out of the daily grind and give yourself permission to take those vacation days, give yourself permission to drive to that forest, drive to that state park, drive to the desert, whatever it is that feeds your soul, give yourself permission. Unplug, disconnect, and just go out there. And I'm realizing this so much, and in my work with men and in my coaching that I do, it's so apparent that so many of these guys that I work with, many of which run companies and are CEOs and really, really successful guys, the missing link to so many of them, it's not more business strategy. It's not like some algorithm that they're going to download or an app on their phone. It's simply helping to remind them to be quiet. It's giving them permission to take a time out, to take some time for themselves. These are really good people. They're working hard on their business. They're making an impact in the world. They're spending time with their family, with their kids. But what often comes last is them. And I've been caught in that trap so much, and it's so difficult sometimes to really, really be honest with ourselves and say, dude, I am burned out. Like, I need to take a break. I need a timeout. I need to just escape for an hour, for 15 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 5 minutes, to close my eyes and to breathe and to just be. And it's so, so difficult. So one of the exercises that I do in my coaching program is, it's around mindfulness. And this sounds so over simple, but what you do is you basically look at your phone, note what time it is, and then turn your phone off. Turn it off for 10 minutes or so, but give yourself at least 10 minutes. And then wherever you are, you could try this right now. Wherever you are, just take a deep breath and just begin to observe what's going on within you right now, around you. Notice the temperature of the room that you're in. How does the air feel as you breathe in and out through your nose? Does it feel cool? Does it feel warm? How does the surface underneath you feel? Is it soft? Is it hard? Is it itchy? Just observe. How does your clothing feel on your skin? What do you see around you? Is there a rug? Is there a chair? Are you outside? Are you in your car? just take a moment to look around you and observe. If you're in nature, or you're lucky enough to be in nature or near a plant, one of the things I love to look at is just the leaves on a plant. It's almost like they have these little veins of chlorophyll pumping through their little leaf bodies. And it's like, how cool is that? And we never notice it. We never notice the miracle of life right around us. We never just stop to watch the ants on the ground move around. And it's incredible. And it's amazing just to watch. So just take a few minutes today. Whether you're doing it right now or whether you're going to do it some other time today. Doesn't matter. Just observe. Be still. And then when you're done with the exercise, give yourself a moment to debrief. What came up for you? Were you distracted? Were you thinking about work? Were you thinking about your to-do list? Was it easy to just sit there and be completely present? Or was it really, really hard? And just take note and don't judge it. But if it was really, really hard for you, if it was really difficult to turn your phone off for 10 minutes and to just be still and to be quiet, just know that you can get better at this. And I hear so many business people say, I hate meditating. I cannot do it. And you know what? Whatever you think is the reality within you. And it's not like being able to be mindful and in the moment is a foreign concept to us. It's that we've become so deluded in our hustle society that we've forgotten how to do it. But it's just like a muscle that can be trained, that we can work on, that we can develop, and it can get stronger and stronger and stronger through a little bit of mindfulness. That's why I'm such a fan of breath work, because I think that it really automatically brings you into the moment. You're focusing only on your breath. And I've trained hundreds of people now in breath work, and it's so interesting to see how difficult it is initially for them. But after a little while, they naturally surrender to it, and it becomes easier and easier the longer that they do it. So, what does that tell you? It's all possible. It's all possible to live more in the present. And I really believe if I could pick one key to happiness to, you know, pass on to my children or to anybody after I die, it's that the key to happiness is just being in the present moment, regardless of how it feels. Because we're going to go through life, we're going to have stressed out moments, we're going to have anxious moments, we're going to have really sad moments, and then we're going to have the joy and the elation and the really happy moments. But the problem with most people is they only want to chase the happy moments, and they ignore all the other ones, and they do anything to numb themselves out and to escape all the unpleasant feelings. But the joy is in all the feelings. It's part of the earthly experience here. And so giving ourselves permission to be in the present, not thinking about everything in the future and stressing out about it, that's not being in the present, that's living in the future, that's future tripping. And it's not living in the past either, because we cannot go backwards. Unless someone out there is familiar with an amazing Back to the Future type style time machine, you can't go backwards. I'm not aware of any machine that does that. Use your past as a teaching tool, as lessons learned. Use it for fuel for your presence, and let it go. And just be here in the present moment. Doesn't that give you a lot of peace when you actually just pause and think about that? And just like knowing, I don't have to live in the past. I don't have to be that old person, you know, I don't have to embody those old behaviors anymore. And I sure as hell don't have to know everything about the future. I can just be here right now. And it is a collective doing present moment behavior over and over and over, and doing it well, that will ultimately equate to a wonderful future. But if we're never in the present, everything else gets robbed. And more importantly, the people that we love in our lives, they get robbed of our presence. And they don't actually ever have us if we're not actually ever there. I'm going to say that one more time. The people that we love in our lives don't actually ever have us if we're actually never there. I know that's a lot of actuallys. Listen, I'm as guilty as any. You guys, I used to be completely addicted to social media, to attention seeking, being completely into myself, self-absorbed, very borderline narcissistic behavior at times. I'm going to be honest. I was not present. I was not present with myself, and I was not present with others. But guess what? If we want to be present for others, we have to be present for ourselves first. We have to learn to do that. So I'm going to leave you guys with those thoughts today. That's it. We don't need to go an hour. Just be present. And I want to honor you and thank you, all of you who listened to this, for your presence while I blabbered and talked just for a little bit about all these thoughts and these things, because hopefully it's inspired maybe even just one or two of you to refocus today, to be a little more mindful, to be a little more in the present moment. Go and give your gifts to the world by being present in the world. Thanks for listening. Just wanted to pop back on for 1 second, you guys, and just thank you for listening to the episode. I know there's thousands, literally, of podcasts that you could be listening to, and it means the world that you take the time out of your busy, busy schedule just to listen to mine for a little bit. If you got something good out of this episode, send me an email. I usually blast this out to my entire audience, and if it resonated with you, hit reply. Let me know what actually hit home for you. I'd love to hear that. And as always, if you're not subscribing to the show, go ahead and make sure you hit follow on Spotify or whatever listening platform you are listening to this on. Hope you guys have an amazing week. And until then, we'll talk to you very soon.